Good morning. You guys are in for a treat. I'm about to teach you a new song, and I think you're gonna like it. But before I teach you a new song, I need to give you some context of where this song came from. My wife and I, after we'd been married for about 18 months, got pregnant with our first child. And once she came, we had 3 kids in 3.5 years. It was a lot. It was a lot. It was a lot. And we felt underwater at times. And so we're in March Madness season. So I feel like this is a really good metaphor right now for some of you guys who love watching the NCAA tournament. We felt like our life was in a full court press for 6 straight years. Right? We never got a break until our oldest was probably about 5 or 6. We called those high training years. And so the minute our kids woke up to the time they went to bed, we were like, okay, what are we gonna do? Here we go. How are we gonna survive? Let's stay involved with this. Let's get after this. And so we actually, like now we look back on that season of life with a lot of fondness. In the moment, we were doing everything we can to survive. Any parents felt that in their lives before? Like, we're alive and everyone ate. Yes! Right? I mean, it's like we made it. So it's in the midst of this. I was a worship pastor at the time. And in this season, when I was doing a lot of music, I was writing a lot of music. And so as I would always write little ditties for our family and little for our kids. And so I'm going to teach you one of our family songs. Y'all okay with that? All right, so I'm going to teach you your part. It's kind of like this call and response. I'm going to do some stuff, and then you're going to say something. And I'm going to represent me and Carrie, and you guys are going to represent what my kids were saying. All right, so here it is. The first part is this. Rule the world. Okay, so I fear that you think that I'm not going to make you do this, and I'm totally going to do this. You're going to sing out. So you're going to sing Rule the World. You ready? I'm going to sing. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Rule the world. Great. Okay. Next part. Your next part is how high, how high.
How high, how high.
Okay. Now this how high is really tricky because you do it twice. So are you ready for this? All right. Ready, set, go. How high. How high, how high. Perfect. So the first 2 times I point at you, you're going to say rule the world. The 3rd and 4th time I point at you, you're going to say how high, how high, how high. You got it? All right, so I want you to picture this. This is the Minter family circa 2009, 2010. We're driving down the interstate. Mom and dad are in the front seats of the Loser Cruiser minivan, and the kids are in the back throwing Cheerios and whatever else all over the back of the minivan. You ready? And this is what would happen. Me and Carrie would look at each other, and we'd go, mommies and daddies, mommies and daddies, mommies and daddies. Mommies and daddies, mommies and daddies, mommies and daddies. When we say jump, you say how high. Jump.
How high, how high.
Jump.
How high, how high.
Mommies and daddies, mommies and daddies, mommies and daddies. Great job. So that was a very strong song in our family. Here's the thing, is that yesterday I was like, I think I'm gonna use this in the sermon. So I went out into the main room and I was like, hey kids, do you remember this? And I started it, and they're like, mommies and daddies, mommies and daddies, mommies and daddies, and the kids go, don't rule the world, right? Like, they're older now, and they're not buying it. But back in the time, man, they were just happy as they could be, like saying, yes, mommy and daddy rule the world. And it's funny, and we had a lot of fun in that season of life, but there's a strong tension, and this is it. When you're a kid, obeying your parents is the worst, right? I mean, you're like, why do I have to do what you tell me to do all the time? You don't like it. It's frustrating. You think you know better than them. It's just like, why do I have to do what you always tell me? Right? And then when you're a parent, getting your kids to obey all the time is the worst, right, parents? It's like, can we not just have a meal and not fight over broccoli, right? I mean, can you just do what I asked you? Why am I having to stop? It's the worst. And so here's the thing. It can be hard whether you're a kid or you're a parent, but God's word speaks really clear in this. And here's the reality is that we've seen this over the last few weeks, that here's the reality. All of our relationships, especially in the home, Paul's talking about all of our relationships in the home, are reshaped by our relationship to Christ. Because who we are in Christ, it reshapes all of our relationship. And Paul's been talking about, especially in the house. And so if he started with husbands, hey, husbands, the way you love your wives is reshaped, because back in the day, you didn't have to love your wife. They were property. Who cares? And he's like, absolutely not. Because you're in Christ, you're to love them even to self-sacrificial death. It's like, in wives, you're equal now. You're not property in the gospel. You're made in the same image of God. You're an equal in dignity. But at the same time, there's authority in the house, and your job is to submit and learn to follow the leadership of your husband and respect him. And now he's kind of coming together, husbands and wives. You have a responsibility to your children. This is the way this works. There's authority in the house. And husband and wives come together and have authority in their children. And so we're going to jump in Ephesians chapter 6 and read what he's going to give the instruction to children are this morning. This is Ephesians chapter 6, 3 verses, super simple, hard to do. Here we go, 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So in this passage, there's one audience, children. There's two commands, obey and honor. So let's jump in with the first one, which is children, obey your parents. So who's he talking to? He's talking to children. He's using the general word for children, which is descendants. So it has absolutely an umbrella meaning of all children, which all of us, if you're walking on planet Earth, are a child in some sense. But especially this first verse, it really kind of points to where he's pointing to smaller children. And kind of the context says, hey, little kids, smaller kids, obey your parents. So what are we supposed to do? Your child in this room, by the way, we have programmatically anyone from sixth grade all the way to almost dead, right? Everywhere in between, they're in this room. And so this is a broad audience to teach to. Sorry, that wasn't supposed to be offensive. It was just means to everyone. I'm sorry. Sometimes you say stuff up here, and you're like, oh boy, I can't get that back, can I? So it's children. We're all supposed to obey. So here we go. We're supposed to obey in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. Let's just define obey. Do what you're told. What's interesting is this doesn't need to have a lot of explanation, does it? It's black and white. Do what you're told. A fancy definition that I looked up is like a comply with a command. And I'm like, I'm not going to tell my kids, you need to comply to my commands. I'm just going to say, do what I told you to do, right? It's black and white. Did you do it? Don't touch this. Did you do it? Yes or no? Be home by a certain time. Did you do it? Yes or no? Do not pull your phone out after this hour. Did you do it? Yes or no? It's just real simple. Did you obey? It's not if you agree, if you think it's a good idea. It's just children, obey. And the next part is in the Lord. And so we have a couple options here. The first option could be, hey, if your parents are believers, and they're in the Lord, and your whole family's in the Lord, maybe you should obey them then. And that's really not what he's saying here. What he's saying is it has nothing to do with what your parents are, if they're believers or not believers. What it reality is that because you are in Christ, and because you have followed Jesus, you have a responsibility to your parents. And this leads to, well, why, right? Kids ask this all the time. Why? Here's the reason why. It's right. It almost feels like Paul's giving the answer to it that we give to our kids, because I said so. All right, it's right. But here's the reason it's right. It's right because of our relationship with Christ. God established the family, and he put authority over the family, and the parents are the boss. They're the ones who know best. They're the ones who are thinking. They're the ones who are trying to follow God. And we have a responsibility to do that. But next is, and this is, don't miss this, kids, if you're in this room. Do you know that Jesus obeyed too? Jesus obeyed. It was actually not a great situation for him. He's in the Garden of Eden, remember this? And he's actually on his hands and knees, and he's crying out so hard, there's blood coming out of his forehead. And he's like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to. But he doesn't throw a temper tantrum. Here's what he says, but not my will, but yours, Father. And so if it's good enough for Jesus in authority, even though he's fully God, he could have just done whatever he wanted, and he still submitted himself to his heavenly Father. And if that's good enough for Jesus, kids and children, it's good enough for us. So let's get some application. Honestly, I feel like if you're anywhere between you know, birth and 18 to still living in your parents' house, this is really for you. If you're still under your parents' authority, this is really for you. Are you obeying your parents? And so I'm gonna give you really practical, some really easy steps for you to follow this out in your life. Number one is, here's the rule. Yes, sir, first, ask questions second. Yes, first, ask questions second. I grew up in the South, not like Alabama. Like, I grew up in Oklahoma. We consider ourselves a different South, but people in the Midwest don't, so I'm not gonna go into that, but there's that. But where I grew up, when an adult spoke to you, you responded with yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am. It's just a rule. You respected adults. And I loved it because not only did it say, I'm gonna do what you tell me to do, but I also realized that you're my authority and I'm gonna respect that. And I get that that doesn't happen in the Midwest, a very polite term in the Midwest for yes, sir, and this isn't any disrespect, is yep, okay, affirmative, I gotcha. But here's what we did with our kids. We did teach our kids to say yes, sir, no, sir, and that's not what I'm asking you to do. But as a kid, I need to know my kids want to obey me before I want to know their objections. And kids, if you're in here, this is huge for you. Respond yes to your parents before you ask them why. You will earn a lot of favor with your parents. Let me give you a great example. Is in our house, my wife and I, mostly my wife, but I have sometimes as cook our dinner. And in our family, our kids clean up dinner. It's a great thing. You should do that. I highly suggest it. And so if I say, hey, kids, clean the kitchen, and I look at one of them and I say, and you put the dishes in the dishwasher, and they go, but dad, it's not gonna go well for them, right? And they might have a good but dad reason, but if they come to me and say, I got it, dad, I'm on it, and they say, hey, dad, can I tell you something while they're doing the dishes? I put the dishes in the dishwasher 3 times in the last night. Did you know that? I'd be like, I didn't know that. Let's fix that. But if you're starting with no, and this is why I think what you told me to do is dumb, it's not gonna go well for you, kids. It's just not. Let your parents know that you wanna obey them before you tell them your objections. Just some really solid advice for you. Here's a caveat to that. If you're in this room and your parents are asking to do something to you that is putting you in danger, and what I mean by that, is this an abusive situation? You need to ask for help. If your parents, and unfortunately, I wish that this wasn't true. I wish that all of humanity was redeemed and acted God-honoring, but the reality is there's sin in this world and there are parents that would put you in danger. And if that's you, I don't want you to feel like taking abuse is being obedient to your parent. And even further than that, if it goes against what God is clearly teaching, if your parents are asking you to rob a store, you don't have to obey them. I don't think that's happening in most parents, right? Like, but there's a reality that if what your parents are asking you to do is radically off the reservation of what God would say, then talk to an adult. Find someone that's safe that for you to go find talk with, about that with. Verse 2, ready? Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Honor your father and mother. This is the first promise. So listen, who's this to? Honestly, obedience in our culture is more that are you under your parents' authority? And that changes, that's different. It's actually a different age than when I grew up. I pretty much left my house when I was 18. But for some of you, you're still living with your parents. I think there's still some responsibility and obedience, even though you're kind of moving into honoring. But when you're on your own, but I think honor is from birth to death. You can honor your parents. Even some of you who your parents have passed away, I still think you can honor your parents in their death. So honoring your parents, what do we mean by honor? It's high respect. It's like respect on steroids is what I would say. What's interesting is we can understand honor by giving a few examples. If the governor of Iowa walked into this room today, we would probably by nature give her honor. It was like, oh, this is a person that esteems some honor. If a police officer, you begin to talk to the police officer, I automatically am gonna give them honor. A veteran, I'm gonna see them in their uniform, I'm gonna give them honor for something they do. Maybe you're a principal or your CEO or your boss. There's just some honor that we totally understand. But for some reason, it can be hard to honor our parents. When you're talking to your boss, I hope you do not disrespect them. But for some reason, it's really inside of us to be really disrespectful to our parents. And it's a sin. It's actually sin. And honestly, one of the reasons it's hard to do is because you've seen the mistakes of your parents, right? Your parents aren't perfect. Man, they've blown it. If you're a parent, you've blown it. And it can be harder to give respect and honor to someone that you've seen blow it. But it's still a call of Scripture to honor. And here's the reason why, is because it will go well with you. He's quoting back one of the Ten Commandments, and it's the fifth commandment in the order, and this is Exodus 20:12. It says, honor your father and mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. Remember this, God had given the people of Israel the land west of the Jordan all the way to the Mediterranean, and they made a covenant with God, and they're like, hey, God, we'll do whatever you say. And he's like, listen, okay, you made the promise, but you just need to know if you stop disobeying me, it's not going to go well for you, and you're going to lose the promises I gave you. And so that's what this promise is here, is like, do what I told you to do. Honor your mother and father, because if you don't, you're not going to be following the ways of God, and you're going to lose the promise I gave you. And Paul's referencing that for us. And here's the thing. We don't receive the promise of God because we keep all the rules. We actually, as people of the gospel, receive the inheritance of God by faith. Isn't that great? Because if we kept it by our perfect record of doing everything right, we would all lose it. But we gain favor and inheritance of God by faith. And he's like, but listen, if you do what your parents, if you honor them and you do what they tell you to do and you just give them honor, it's going to go really well for you. It leads to order and stability for the most part. Your parents aren't perfect, but your parents pointed you in the right direction. They said, stop doing this. Stop doing this. Focus on this. And if you do what your parents have instructed you, even if you don't like it, it's going to lend to some order and stability in your life. And I know that might not be true for all of you, but for the most part, your parents had your best interest apart. And it's good for you. You're going to last longer in life. So let me give you some applications. Real simple applications of how to honor your parents. How to honor your parents. How do you do it? First thing, ask and listen to their advice. Ask and listen to their advice. Doesn't matter if you're 16 or you're 43. Ask your parents and listen to their advice. Honestly, I wish my father-in-law and I wish my mom would be more forthright in their advice, because I go to both of them and they'll be like, oh, Brent, do whatever you want. I believe in you. And I'm like, no, I'd like you to like give me some real instruction. My father passed away 4 years ago and I miss it because he would tell me the hard things. He'd go, have you thought about this? I miss that. I'm a grown man, but listen to your parents. Ask for their advice. Next, speak well of them in public and in private. Do you hear that? Honor your parents by speaking well of them in public and in private. Don't be so disrespectful about your parents. I promise you, if they kept a record of your wrongs, it would be insane. So it's easy to keep a record of wrongs. Why don't you speak well of them? Next, remember them and celebrate them. Pick up the phone or text them. I have to be honest, this is written in my notes because this is a way that I don't honor my mom that much. I'm an in-the-moment guy. Whoever's sitting in front of me, it's real easy for me to have a full flight, but I've never in my life gone, oh, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna pick up the phone and call someone. I'm not good at that. I don't know why, I'm just not good at it. And to be honest, guys, I've very much disrespected my mother because she wished I would call her. What's interesting, she's gonna watch this sermon and she's gonna call me and go, Brent, I saw you're gonna call me more. But I literally wrote it because that's an area for me to grow in my honoring of my mom. Pray for them. When's the last time you prayed for your parents? Do you know how many times they've prayed for you? Lord, help them not to get, you know, I mean, like help, pray for your parents because they've prayed for you guys. I'm telling you, they've prayed for you. Care for them. Believe the best in them and let them have their preferences. You don't have to reshape or reform them in every area. I'm gonna give you a couple of examples. My mom, personally, and my father-in-law and mother-in-law have set such an incredible bar of honoring their parents. They're both in their 60s and 70s, and they are honoring their parents by caring well for them. My mom has brought my grandmother into her home. My mother-in-law and father-in-law every day go visit their parents in difficult health situations. They've done such a great job of honoring, like a lifelong of honoring your parents. I wanna break it down though, because some of you in this room, you're like, Brent, you have no clue. My parent don't deserve honor. My parents just don't deserve honor. Maybe your mom. Here's what the reality is in a room like this. Some of you, your parents are not the heroes in your story. In fact, some of them, your parents are the villain in your story. And I really have a lot of empathy for you. And so what do you do? You're like, Brent, this is hard. How do I honor my parents? They're not believers, or not only not believers, that man, they are absolutely, you wouldn't believe what they've done to me. And this is a few things, the way you can honor them. Number one is forgive them. You wanna honor your parents? When they're not honorable, forgive them. But Brent, I'm sorry. You have no clue how sorry I am, how empathetic I am, but forgive them. It might take a long time, but don't give up. Keep working. Keep going to the cross and forgive them. Number two, don't blame them for all your problems. Don't blame them for all your problems. They may have caused a lot of problems, but don't blame them for all your problems. You know why? Because in a moment, even though we were raised in a certain family that may have had a lot of dysfunction or chaos, there's also a truth that we can also run to a better father. Listen to this. Psalm 27:10 says, "For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." There may be some real problems, but you've got solutions, and his name is Jesus, and the Lord will take you in. This is in Psalm 68:5. He's a father to the fatherless and protector of widows, is God in his holy habitation. Your earthly parents may have caused all kinds of problems, but don't sit there and blame them. Why don't you run to the Father who will bring you in? Third way you can honor them, live peaceably. This is Romans 12:18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. You can live in your world. You can't control them, but in your heart you can live peaceably, which goes back to forgiving them. And in worst case scenario, honor the office, even if it's hard to honor the person. Even if it's really hard to honor the person, I get that. I don't know every story in here, but you can honor the fact that they at least gave you life. Let me just say this, if this is you. This is some tricky waters, okay, guys? I understand that. But let me just say, it's okay to have healthy boundaries. It really is okay to have healthy boundaries. If there's some radical dysfunction and you've forgiven and you're living peaceably and you're not blaming them, but here's what I would just say. Do your best to be honoring in those boundaries and not angry. You know the difference? Like, you can set boundaries because I'm angry and I hate you, and or you can say in good faith, listen, I know we need these boundaries, but I'm gonna do it in an honoring way. Let me just give this story really quickly. And my father, there's so many incredible things about my father. If you know me and my personality, it's by and large because of my father. I got his personality, the way he thinks about the world. There's a lot of great things about my father, but there was a season where it was really difficult. And as a young man, I had to work really hard to not become embittered by it all. And I worked, I went to counseling as a 17-year-old kid, 18-year-old kid. And really found, even though it took a lot of forgiveness, and my father and I had a great relationship. But what was most powerful about that is he passed away 4 years ago in January. And even though there was some rocky spots in our relationship, when When he passed away, I was able to stand right here with his casket right below me and honor my father for all the good things about him. It's worth it. It's worth it, guys. It's worth honoring. Even if everything wasn't okay, it's worth being honoring to your parents. Here's the problem. Children, obey your parents. Honor them. What's interesting is like, okay, children are supposed to do this, but here's what the scripture says about children. They don't naturally obey. This is Proverbs, that's not me. This is Proverbs 22:15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, and some parents better shout amen, right? Parent, like, folly is bound up in their hearts. So what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to deal with it? We have to teach them to obey. Listen, parents, you got to get this in your souls. Parents, you are responsible for requiring your kids to obey. Parents, you are responsible for requiring your kids to obey. You have a responsibility to teach them. We would never let them get away with 1,000 things. Like, we wouldn't let them be malicious, slanderous, gossip, inventors of evil. But in Romans 1, 28 through 30, he gives this huge list of horrible things people do. And the last one, he's like, don't let them be boastful or inventors or disobedient to parents. And for some reason, we will get them if they lie. We will get them if they're gossiping about someone. But we let them get off the hook if they disobey us. And it shouldn't be. The scriptures actually in Deuteronomy 6 says, listen, no matter where you're at, teach your kids these things. When you're walking, when you're eating, when you're sleeping, when you're going to bed at night, always be teaching your kids how to do these things. And the question is, well, Brent, I know I should probably do this, but how in the world do I do this? That's a great question. And it's something that we can't solve in a 35-minute sermon. It literally takes a lifelong pursuit of a parent to learn and to try to shape your children. Honestly, this is the reason we're doing the Grace-Based Parenting Conference. Because it's impossible for us. You guys, if you're a parent, you need to be a lifelong student of how to shape your kids in every season of life. You really should. Like, honestly, we don't need you to come. We're not a better church if you come to the Grace-Based Parenting Conference. I'm just saying you're missing on an opportunity to sharpen your skills in a set that's really hard to do well. It's hard to parent. So take advantage of some of these resources. And the question is why, Brent? Why should we require our kids to obey? Is it just because we want to be strict parents and we want them to act perfect? No. Listen, here's the reason why. Because God gave the command for your children to obey, and we're accountable for helping them raise up an environment where they want to. As parents, you're accountable for that, that you're raising your kids. And here's the reason. If you've heard nothing else all day long, parents, please, here's it is. One of the reasons that this is so important, because if we teach our children to obey, we're setting them up for later in life for them to begin to obey God. Let me unpack that for just a second. If you've raised your kid and they can look at you and go, no, and you've never told them and showed them how to submit to authority in your house, and you let them run all over, they're like, hey, don't do that. And they go, no. And they keep running, going, ha, 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 they're just a little rebellious, you know, they're just a little rambunctious, and you think that's cute. What do you think is gonna happen when the Spirit of God begins to work in the child of your, in the heart of your child? Have you taught them how to submit? Have you taught them how to listen to instructions? Because certainly at salvation, one day the Spirit of God is going to convict them of their sin. And I'm just telling you, I think your kid is going to have a leg up in the spiritual world if you've taught them how to respond to authority in their life. When they're reading the scriptures and it says, don't do this, don't do this. And in their whole life, they've looked at you and said, who cares? And they went about it. Do you think you're setting it up them up for success of following Jesus if you've never taught them how to submit to authority and to follow leadership in their lives? Here's some real easy application for you. Parents, have a backbone and be the authority in your house. Don't you dare be a dictator. Don't you dare be a harsh. Harsh fathers, you're going to get some words in verse 4 next week. So get there. Come back. Don't be harsh, but be a loving authority in your life. Number 2, build the discipline of obedience in your child. Teach your kid how to obey in the big and the small. When our kids were in that season, we had 2 rules in our house. Only 2 rules. Obey mommy and daddy and have lots of fun. That was literally the 2 rules. That's it. And what me and my wife decided is if we said it, we were gonna hold them to it. And so we really did a lot of not saying what they shouldn't do, because if we said, don't do that, and they did it, we would deal with it. So we didn't have 10,000 rules. We only like, if we say this, we had to follow through as parents. We felt the responsibility. If we were gonna give a command, we had to follow it back up on the back end. So we shut our mouths. We did not try to fix big mistakes in our kids when they were tired, because it was just gonna be World War III, right? We did everything we could that if we said it, we showed them that we were serious about it. But we didn't try to have 10 million rules, but what we did say, we meant. Number 3, this is huge. Discipline out of delight, not annoyance. Discipline out of delight, not out of annoyance. This is Proverbs 19. It says, discipline your son, for there is hope. Discipline him, for there's hope. We're hopeful about what's going to happen, but the next part, do not set your heart on putting him to death. You should laugh at that. That's pretty funny. Discipline your son, for there's hope. Do not set your heart on putting him to death. Listen, delight in your discipline with your kids. You want what's best for them. Delight in what's best for them. Delight that you're teaching them the ways of God, that you're hopeful for where they're going. Do not discipline out of annoyance. And this is really hard, parents. We don't like to admit this, but don't discipline because your kids are being annoying. Don't discipline because they're just being silly. Discipline out of teaching them what is best for them. I'm guilty of that. After dinner, after a long day, and they're cleaning the kitchen and doing a great job, and they're singing and dancing, and it's really loud, I may or may not a couple of times a week get a little frustrated with that. And I'm wrong. I had to apologize to one of my daughters yesterday because I was wrong. All relationships in the house of God should be reshaped because of our relationship with Christ. And parents and children are no different. So kids, obey and honor your parents. Obey and honor your parents. They are literally the authority that God has put over you. And this is the very thing that Jesus did. He submitted to his father's instructions. When it was hard, when he didn't want to do it, and he honored God, the Father, with his very life. He said, no one knows the Father except because Jesus has shown him. So his very life reflected his Father. And parents, require your kids to obey. Require it. Did I say have 10 million rules and be a strict drill sergeant? Absolutely not. But let it be in your house an expectation that we are gonna raise our kids to obey the authority over them, because the Bible is gonna hold them accountable for that. But scriptures, but God's gonna hold you accountable that you set the right environment. So, where do we go with this? You know what's crazy about the scriptures? Is it doesn't matter where you're at today, how old or how young or how perfect of a family or how jacked up of a family you had. Here's the invitation of scripture from beginning to end. We can all be children of God. So as a child, if you blew it, and you disrespected your parents and you disobeyed them and you were a rebellious, hot mess and nothing they did you listen to, here's the good news, please listen to this. You are welcome in God's family. And your mission is not by your rap sheet about how good you were. It's because you have faith and you're saying, God, I didn't do it right, but I believe in the work of Jesus to make it right for me. And if even as a parent, maybe you've had some good days, but you've had a lot of bad days. You're like, Brent, I'm really bad at this. Here's the good news for you. You're welcome into the family of God as a child of God. But it's not going to be because you're a perfect parent. It's not going to be because you nailed it and you got everything right and now they're happy and wise and they grew up. It's not anything of that. It's because one reason you say, God, I can't fix myself. I'm not worthy of myself, but I'm going to trust that what Jesus did is good enough for me. And you come by faith and you can be a child of God. Isn't that great news? That no matter how good or bad we are, Jesus invites us all to be his children. Not because of what we can do, but because we believe in his finished work. Let's bow our heads. So do you need, as a child, do you need to grow in obeying and honoring your parents? I think we could all honor our parents more. They gave so much for us. But then if you're a parent in this room, how are you structuring your family? Are you structuring it so that your kids, you're helping your kids obey the commands of Scripture to obey their parents? Are you helping them that? They're not gonna do it naturally. You're actually gonna have to come and shepherd them and help them in that. Are you doing that? Are you setting that environment? No matter how good or bad you are this morning, the invitation is this: we can all be children of God because of what Jesus has done for us. So Jesus, we need you. Every single second of our life, we've needed you. And when we talk about things like this, we really feel it. And so God, help us to respond appropriately. And maybe some in this room for the first time would say, I want to be a child of God. I've never been. And I'm going to believe in Christ for the first time this morning. You're welcome in this place, Lord. Amen.